I'm born with it. When you come from the bottom, then you gon' spin it.
Are listening to Off the Cuff. Now, here's your host, Adam Banks.
I'm ballin'.
The stage is set for the men's Final Four in Phoenix. The Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight has passed us, and we can't wait to talk about it. Welcome, everybody, to the March Madness series presented by Off the Cuff with Adam Banks. I, of course, am Adam Banks, and we are here for our Final Four show. I have with me the OTC Sports Panel, Chad Rainwater and Jordan Knatzer. Guys, thank you, and welcome to a live broadcast of the Final Four show. How is everybody doing?
Good, man. You know, it's 9 p.m. on a work night. It's a little bit late, but no place I'd rather be than in the studio doing a live show. When, you know, once again, it's great to be back again.
Yeah, man, you gotta love these 9 o'clock recordings. But it's great. You know, my adrenaline's pumping, as it always is during these shows. I'm excited to do another one here. Can't wait to talk some basketball.
I figured you would be excited because you are actually, between the three of us, Chad is leading us in the Off the Cuff Bracket Challenge. I want to give everybody an update on what the Bracket Challenge looks like as of right now. So thank you to everyone who joined the Bracket Challenge. But here is the top 10. We have Jarrett Donahue, Chongo Noakes, Chad Rainwater, Baker 25, ESPN Fan 911, Bigger, Harder, Faster, Stronger, ESPN Fan 21-3, Sticklins 92, Orange Crush Kids, and Brew 5. I am at a firm 27. I don't know what it's going to take for me to actually crack the top 10, but it's not looking good. Chad, you're in the top 3, and you have UK winning it all. You must have had a really good bracket.
Yeah, I hate that was the champion that I picked with UK, because in my other two brackets, I had Houston, and I had one with Connecticut in it as well. But, of course, my best bracket does have UK winning. I haven't looked at it in a while, only because I know that there's no chance that I'll win this. I did look the other day and noticed that I was in third, so I like that. But I hate it because UK is obviously out, and I think that there was one guy ahead of me or close to me that has UConn winning.
That's Chongo.
Is it Chongo?
Yeah, so unfortunately. Yeah. Like the worst person in the bracket challenge to win it's about to win it.
Was there one with Purdue as well? I thought there was a guy in there that had Purdue Purdue and then Connecticut. I could be wrong.
The first place person has somebody that's not in it anymore winning it. So unless something crazy falls apart, Chongo's going to win it.
Yeah, or unless UConn doesn't win it, and I somehow have more Final Four teams, or my championship. My championship game is different than Chongo's, and I get ahead of him. But I'm still pretty far. So there's no chance. I do like seeing my name up there that high, because it's something I haven't seen in a while when it comes to these bracket challenges. It is what it is.
And the winner gets a $25 gift card from Amazon, and that will be mailed directly to you. Or if Chad wins it, I can just hand it over to you during the post-game show. But, folks, last week on the show, we started talking about the ratings of the tournament. And the ratings, they keep on soaring. It's at an all-time high still yet, which tells me college basketball is still live and well. But this time on the show, I would like to start off talking about one of my favorite subjects. One of the reasons I love college basketball so much is the college basketball coaches. I love college basketball coaches. I think they're fascinating creatures. I love the storylines. I love the personalities. But this is the time of year where coaches are getting hired and coaches are getting fired. So I would like to start off the show talking about the coaching carousel. A lot of changes happening in the coaches' world. Jordan, one of the biggest was the University of Louisville. They finally made a hire, Pat Kelsey. What do you make of the Pat Kelsey hire at U of L?
I think the hire of Pat Kelsey is going to be fun, and a lot of it, you know, he brings that energy that I think Louisville is going to love. I think the Kentucky rivalry will be back with Pat Kelsey. You know, hopefully he can coach a team up that has a couple more than, you know, 4 wins and 8 wins in back-to-back seasons. So, I don't know if you watched his team play throughout the season. His son is a younger kid, probably like 7, 8 years old. His son's always on the sidelines, like doing crazy stuff. Like, he's a kid that you just like, I'm sure we're going to grow to, like, not enjoy watching his little kid over there just running around. But, like, you can watch him on TikTok, and they're just full of so much energy, both the father and the son. And the son's at all the games, close to the bench. It's going to be fun. For the coach that he is, you can only speak for, you know, making NCAA tournament berths. I can't, you know, you can't really say what he's going to do in a Power 5 conference. I think Louisville, in my opinion, to be a top seven program of all time, probably could have got a better hire. But, you know, Scott Drews of the world, the Dusty Mays of the world, turned Louisville down. He was their third choice, and he came out in his first media appearance and said that, you know, I was my wife's third choice as well. So, you know, he carries the energy. He carries everything with him. I hope he does well. I miss the Kentucky-Louisville rivalry. I hope Pat Kelsey does well, and I'll be rooting for him.
Yeah, I think that's important. Out of everything you just said, I think the most important thing is that Kentucky-Louisville rivalry. I miss it. It was at an all-time high with Rick Pitino versus Calipari. Pat Kelsey, I don't know if he's going to be the coach to do it. I don't like him. This energy that he has, I think it's you better have energy right now. He is right now 0-0 at Louisville. This is the time for him to glow and to be cocky and to be confident because he's not went out there and done anything. He has a lot to prove. He's on the big stage. Time will only tell, though, how well he would do. You mentioned Dusty May was considered for the job. Apparently, he turned it down. There was rumor saying that he turned it down because he was getting death threats from Louisville fans if he come there. So I don't know how true that is, he landed in Michigan regardless.
The death threat thing, I mean, that was the whole, I mean, that's been a spill for the week. It's the Indiana State coach said this to the Louisville play-by-play guy, and this was said and that was said. Everything was taken out of context. I don't think there was any death threats that were given to Dusty May. I think it just ultimately Dusty May didn't want to go to a dumpster fire right now in Louisville. I mean, they're still under investigation. There's still a lot there with the whole scandal stuff that they're going through. So, you know, Louisville's still a rebuilding program, and I mean, they could have got a top prospect coach, but, you know, I think they might have got what was best for them as a program.
Yeah. Going back to Pat Kelsey, you said you don't like him. It's hard for me. It's really hard for me to dislike that guy. I was sharing a story with you guys earlier back from, I think it was like 2020, 2021, around COVID. And I saw this video of this coach, didn't know who he was, and he was teaching his little son. They were drawing a play up on the whiteboard, and the son and the coach were just so excited, and they were drawing out a play, and then they executed the play on his little basketball goal, a plastic basketball goal. And I was like, that's me and Cannon later on in life.
Yeah.
And come to find out, that's the coach of Louisville. And I saw where he went live on Twitter, and somebody commented, and I thought it was a great analysis of the coach. He said that he said the coach is like a used car salesman trying to sell a 2000 Corolla with 20,000 miles, trying to like hype you up to buy something. But he does bring the energy, and I love that. He has the energy of like the Nate Oates and the Eric Musselmans that I think that this rivalry needs. At the same time, as much as I hate Louisville and always have, I don't think I'm going to be able to hate this guy just because of how he is, and he's just always so happy, and he's so happy that he had this job, has this job. That my thoughts on him could change later on once we see him in action. But as of right now, I think he's a cool dude.
I think you're going to grow to dislike him. I mean,
I hope you're right.
You know, playing Eric Musselman, you know, once or twice a year. Eric Musselman's a coach that I've got to the point that I almost can't stand because the energy is almost too much. I think that's what Pat Kelsey's going to end up being.
He takes his shirt off, though, Eric Musselman. That's what gets
that at Nevada.
Oh, that gets on my nerves. Oh, no, he did it at Alabama.
He did it at Arkansas.
But only time will tell with the new Louisville coach. There are also other several coaches that had coaching changes. Morehead State lost a coach. Preston Spradlin ended up moving to around the Washington, D.C. area. Is it James Madison University?
I don't know if I understand that hire. I mean, Is James Madison, you know, I'm not a big James Madison person, but are they that much bigger? I mean, Morehead State's still in the OVC in a good conference.
The only thing that I can think of why he left is money.
You could, I mean, I could see that, but you know, Preston Spradlin's got a lot of ties here. I was kind of surprised to see that be the school that he chose to go to. I don't know how I feel about that one. I feel like he had enough at Morehead to where he had nothing to worry about. You've taken him to the tournament. You produced great players. Where are you going? Unless you're taking a true step up, where are you going?
Well, I, for one, am excited as a Morehead State graduate to see who Morehead State gets. Now, hear me out. I hope that Morehead State hires a coach that is down on his luck, that nobody wants to take a chance on, nobody wants to hire. Here, Morehead State is who I think you should hire. Hear me out. Bobby Huggins. Former head coach of West Virginia. Right now, nobody wants to take a hire on him. I think that Bobby Huggins would take this job in a heartbeat if offered. One, they'll probably pay him about $300K a year. $300K, you're thinking, oh, it isn't much for what he's used to. $300K is better than $0K a year. No other school is wanting to give him a chance. Go to Morehead. You're in a basketball state. You are in a small town. It's a very chill job. You're playing in the OVC. You are 70 years old. Jim, what was the former coach of he was great, not Jim Boeheim, Jim Calhoun. He ended his days of his coaching career. You know, he was the big coach at UConn, four national titles, whatever. He ended his days coaching a Division II, Division I school. So why can't Bob Huggins stay in Division I but coach a smaller school? I think Morehead would be silly not to at least reach out and have a conversation.
I like that. I like that right there. I never thought about him at all. I didn't even realize that I forgot that he's not even at West Virginia anymore.
Yeah.
Was it last year that he resigned, or was it this year that he resigned?
It was at the beginning of the season, so he got.
I know he got in all that trouble, but I didn't realize that he. I forget that he's not coaching anymore. Yeah, I think that would be a great hire for Morehead State. And like you said, I don't.
That's a motorcycle.
What is that noise?
It gets a little crazy on North Limestone here at night and in the nighttime.
I thought I was hearing things. I'm glad it's not just me. But yeah, I think, yeah, like you said, Morehead would be dumb not to reach out, at least.
Some more coaching changes. Rob Lehner was fired from SMU. Mike Baughton was fired from Oklahoma State. West Virginia hired a new coach. They hired the old Drake coach, Darian Devris. Chris Holtman, we talked about him already, being fired from Ohio State. He got a new job at DePaul. Because they got rid of their coach, Tony Stubblefield.
That's a Dwayne Peavy hire. Dwayne Peavy's a big Kentucky name, you know.
Yes.
So Dwayne Peavy's, you know, this could be the make or break of Dwayne Peavy's time as the AD at DePaul is taking that hire in, taking his chances on him. So I'm really going to be rooting for him. He's a Nicholasville guy as a coach. You know, that's where I'm from. And then Dwayne Peavy was always great at the University of Kentucky. Have nothing but respect for him. I wish the best for both of them.
Jake Diebler is the new coach of Ohio State. I feel like Ohio State is definitely a top 20 college basketball school. I would like to see them get back to being the old Ohio State that they used to be under Thad Matta.
See, I'm not sure about that hire. Wasn't he a former player from just not too long ago? So I don't think he has any coaching experience, unless it's a wrong Diebler. It could be the wrong dealer, but I thought he was a former player at Ohio State from not too long ago.
Mike Hopkins was fired from Washington. Dan Monson parted ways with Long Beach State. Matt Crenshaw was fired from IUPUI. Vanderbilt made a hire. James Madison old coach Mark Byington.
Now, I do like that hire. So James Madison has been relevant as of recent, and that coach has done a lot of good things. I believe they only lost a couple games this year. For Vanderbilt to go out and get a hire like that, you know, Vanderbilt's kind of they're an SEC program, but it's very hard to get a good coach in there. You know, Jerry Stackhouse was a good G League coach, but ultimately it didn't work out for him. I really hope that Vanderbilt's hire works out for them, because I would like to see them start doing something as a program again.
Mercer hired Ryan Reeder after they fired Greg Gary. And then finally, on my list here of the coaching changes, is the Coastal Carolina school is hiring Justin Gray after Cliff Ellis retired from the program. Am I leaving any coaches off?
We left out the biggest one of them all, is Dusty May.
Didn't we start? He's at Michigan.
We touched on him a little bit.
Yeah, we touched on him just a tad. I'm not a big Dusty May fan. I think he had luck in the tournament once, but he was only a second away of going out in the first weekend.
Yeah, he was a tip basket away from losing the first go around, but yes. He did make the Final Four last year. So And then he took his team to the tournament again this year and won one more game than Kentucky did. So
yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that hire either. He had two good seasons. He had this season was 25-9. Last year he went 35-4. But before that, he was 19-15, 13-10, 17-15, 17-16. So I don't know. I feel like Michigan could have got somebody a little bit bigger than him. Because if you look back when they hired Juwan Howard, he didn't have that much coaching experience, but he brought the he had a big name. He could get the recruits. Like I don't know what Dusty May has to sell. I don't think he's the best recruiter. I mean, his X's and O's might be great. Certainly, probably better than John Calipari. But
it's all got it's all
I had to throw something
here.
In
we
there.
Go.
I had to throw something
Let's
in.
Start it.
I don't know. I guess we'll see. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. I don't know what the big deal was with Dusty May, though. I don't understand it. He had two good seasons, and that's about it.
People are aching for the new hot guy. People are aching for that. That's why they're saying, Dusty May, it's Dusty May.
Well, I mean, it's all analytics now. Basketball has changed now to where it's not the defensive game anymore. You know, it's high-powered offenses. It's all analytics and what, you know, AI says to do and what you should be doing and – you know, the two-point shot's gone. It's either you take a layup or you take a three-pointer. Which one do you choose? And if you're willing to go by analytics, you're kind of proven to win.
Yep. And there'll be a ton more college coaching changes, I am sure, within the next couple of weeks because this is the time for it to happen. But, folks, we have a lot to get to, so we're going to go ahead and take our first break. Stick with us. We will be right back. Everybody to Off the Cuff. Adam Banks here with you. This is Off the Cuff with Adam Banks presents the March Madness series, the Final Four show. I am joined with my OTC professional sports panel, Chad Rainwater and Jordan Knatzer. We started off the show talking about the coaching carousel, but we are now ready to get to the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight review. We'll start off reviewing the Sweet 16. It began on Thursday, and we'll start in the East region, talking about number one seed UConn defeated number five seed San Diego State 82-52. Listen, UConn is an unstoppable team. They were unstoppable last year in the tournament. Listen here, they won their last six games by an average of 20 points, the fourth largest average since the tournament expanded in 1985, and that was last year. This year, they've been even better with an average of beating their teams by 28.7 points. Who is going to beat UConn?
I don't think anybody, and I hate that I worked so hard with my research here, and you stole my stat. I had it written down here, and I was so excited to share it. But yeah,
just elaborate on it then.
It's impressive. Like I'm lost for words about how well UConn has been. Not only last year, but this year, and we thought last year's team was really good. And they got hot at the right time, but this year's team, I don't know if anybody's going to stop them. I really don't. And it's impressive. Like this game against San Diego State, one of their best player, Donovan Klingon, only had 8 points, and they ended up winning by 30. If your best player is only scoring 8 points, what does that tell you about the rest of the team? I mean, it's pretty impressive. And you know, this was a rematch of last year's championship game, and just like last year, this one wasn't much of a game at all.
I think, you know, it ultimately boils down to Dan Hurley is a very good coach, and UConn is, we spoke about this last time, you know, UConn's a blue blood. They're a top in college basketball. They're in the top five now. They've got to be in the top five with the Dukes, Kentucky, North Carolina, Kansas, and it has to be UConn.
100%.
And UCLA, but UCLA's not really been relevant for 30, 40 years, but Dan Hurley's a great coach. Like Chad said, they have their entire team back from last year, and then they added a couple very star-stud freshmen that came into their team, and I think that he's figured out that's the way that you bring a team in is you bring in the best older players, and you bring in one or two star freshmen to join your team and allow them to, you know, accumulate themselves, get themselves into your system instead of playing what these young kids want you to play every single year. Dan Hurley's got it figured out. UConn is – steamrolling everybody right now, and I don't know who's going to stop them.
Don't you feel like Dan Hurley came out of nowhere? I feel like that nobody was talking about him. Nobody really knew even who he was. And then last year, he came, won a title, and now, again, he's in the Final Four looking at a potential repeat title, which is hard to be done. Hasn't been done since Florida did it. So, yes, I agree with you. Dan Hurley is amazing. Also in the East region, we've got number 3 seed Illinois. They defeated number 2 seed Iowa State 72-69. Listen, I had Iowa State, as you, if you can recall, I had them in my championship game. They had a top 10 defense in college basketball. I was really surprised to see them go down to Illinois, but of course they did.
Well, Iowa State had the number 1 defense KenPom rating in the entire country, and I think Illinois was a top 3 offense efficient team. I believe Chad actually called the Illinois game. Me and you Banks both picked the Cyclones to win and advance on to the Elite Eight, but that defense just couldn't keep up with the high scoring offense.
Like Jordan just said, I did actually pick this game. Of all the games that I picked, this was one that I actually got correct. But you know, Illinois came to this game with a high powered offense, and they've continued with the offense in this game as well. I only scored 72, but for the most part, led for quite a bit. I was up 10.5. And I thought that once Illinois had won this game, they advanced even further, just based off their offense with Terrence Shannon. I'm just glad that I actually got one of these games correct, because I didn't get many.
You're number 3 in the bracket challenge. You obviously got a lot right. The next game I'll talk about is Alabama. They upset number 1 North Carolina. Listen, Alabama was, you have to give credit. Well, you gave credit a while ago, Jordan, to Dan Hurley. We got to give credit to Nate Oates. He took Alabama to their second Elite Eight. They haven't been to the Elite Eight since 2004, so this is their second time in school history. It's a historic win for Nate Oates. It is a huge win for the program of Alabama. They have been on a roll since they hired Coach Nate Oates, and I think that they will give UConn a run for their money.
Yeah, while we're talking about Nate Oates, let me give him his flowers here for a minute. In his fifth season, coming in as coach for Alabama, this is, like you said, this is their first Final Four. If you remember, they were the number 1 overall seed last year before getting upset later on in the bracket. He has 2 SEC regular season championships as well as 2 SEC tournament titles, 1 Elite Eight, and then 3 Sweet 16s. So Nate Oates is one of the best, if not the best, coach in the SEC right now. And I don't see him going away anytime soon.
I'm going to go back to saying what I said about the analytics part of basketball now. Nate Oates is solely operates on the analytics side of it. They have a third party that comes in and tells them, This is what your team is doing. This is how you're shooting. You're taking the right shots. You're just not making them right now. They give him, you know, adjusted, you know, scoring on what the score should be, and make sure that they're doing everything the way they should. So Nate Oates is one of the, you know, he's going to be one of the futures of basketball. He might not be one of the best coaches that ever coaches basketball, but I think Nate Oates he's leading the charge for the next step that college basketball is going to take into the differentialities they're going to make.
In the West region, we've got number 6 seed Clemson defeated the number 2 seed Arizona 77-72. Ian Schieffelin, he wore the Kobe Bryant shoes to play in the arena that night, and he said that he was channeling his Mamba mentality with his play, which included a key 3 that banked in. But the head coach, Brad Brownell, he interjected with a laugh and said, "Look, you're great, but you're not, don't be comparing yourself to Kobe Bryant." So I love the fact that he was like, "Hey, dude, pump your brakes. Quit comparing yourself to one of the top 5 greatest people to ever do it."
This is one, you know, I believe I did pick Arizona just because I watched Clemson throughout the season, and I was never impressed with the way Clemson played ball throughout the season. But Arizona's known to choke, especially recently. They're known to choke in that NCAA tournament, and that's exactly what they did this year, coming in as a high seed. Lost to a six seed?
Yeah.
So yeah. Arizona was a two. That's kind of what they've been up to. That's been their thing, is make it to the Sweet 16 and lose in the Sweet 16 to a team that shouldn't have beat them.
Yeah, and a lot of people had Arizona making it to the championship game, and some even winning the championship. You know, Arizona had a great team coming into this season behind Caleb Love. But in this game, Arizona battling to even keep up with Clemson the whole game. They were behind from the beginning. They're down 8.5. In a game that you have to shoot well. Caleb Love struggled mightily from the field the whole game. Only finished with 13 points. And this was a shocking one to me. Like Jordan said, Arizona's become one of the teams that is known to choke in March. And then there's another season where that happened.
Next up, number four seed Duke. They took down number one seed Houston 54-51. You have to give flowers, as Chad likes to say, to the coach, John Schreier, his second year at Duke, and he has an Elite Eight. I love to see that happen, because you know that little bitty Coach K sitting over there like, I don't want him to win. I want to act like I want him to win, but I really don't want him to win, because I want everybody to think that I was the best coach of all time. So I just love the fact that somebody else is coming into Duke and having success.
I don't want to give any flowers to John Schreier. I don't want to give any flowers to Duke, and I'm not going to. Houston's best player was out of the game for the rest of the game.
Played 13 minutes.
Yeah, he went out when the score was like 8-12, and Houston just never could recoup from that. And there's nothing about this year's Duke team that I like. Filipowski, best player. You know, awesome he came back. He's had a decent season, but he, in my opinion, he's an NBA player. He's not a college player. Roach, he didn't play as good as I thought he should throughout the tournament. And I'm just, ultimately, I don't want Duke to have any flowers. I don't want Duke to win any championships. I don't want John Schreier to have any respect, any. I don't want him to win any more games. But that's personally just me. I'm a diehard UK fan that just does not like Duke. So, yeah.
Next game up, number 11 seed North Carolina State defeated number 2 seed Marquette 67-58. Somebody get Shaka Smart out of Marquette. His final four with VCU was in 2011. Seems like a long time ago for people to still be hanging on to that when calling him this great coach. He just can't seem to get back there.
Yeah, this was another huge shocker. I mean, I guess we're not really surprised, because given that NC State's just on this incredible run right now, at this point they've won, what, 9 straight? This is one that I thought that their run was going to end right here, this Marquette game. But they just like Clemson over Arizona, Marquette was down most of this game. I mean, they're down 13.5. And, you know, if – before the game started, you'd have to think that the only way that the Wolfpack could win is if they had really good performance from DJ Burns, and he only had 4 points in the game, so they shut him down. But you had other guys like DJ Horn, who had 19 points. But yeah, what they're doing right now is really incredible. I mean, if you think about it, or if you remember, the only way NC State got in was was on a banked-in 3 against Virginia in the semifinals of the ACC tournament. So if they lose that, they don't even make it in the tournament. And here they are going to the Final Four. So I think it's pretty cool.
All I'm going to say, it's a DJ Burns effect, baby. DJ Burns is so much fun. I don't care if he scored 4 points or not. He takes up so much attention. And the dude can pass out of the middle. The dude plays crazy. I've never seen a player, he's the closest thing, and he's even more so than, I would compare him to like a DeMarcus Cousins of the college game.
Yeah.
You know, he's never going to be as good as DeMarcus Cousins was in the NBA. I doubt he'll even go to the NBA. He's got probably a better chance of starting on the offensive line for the New England Patriots because he's so big, but He's full of energy, and his basketball IQ is above and beyond. The dude can get the ball, take all the attention, and then get it to the person who needs to take the shot. I love watching him. I'm rooting for him the whole way through. Go NC State. Wolfpack, baby.
And then the last two games was number one seed Purdue defeated Gonzaga 80-68, and the number two seed Tennessee defeated number three seed Creighton 82-75. And because of those wins, we now have an Elite Eight, which we'll talk about after these words, folks. Stick with us. We will be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to Off the Cuff. Adam Banks here with you, and you are listening to the Off the Cuff with Adam Banks presents the March Madness series, the Final Four show. I am joined by my OTC sports panel, Chad Rainwater and Jordan Knatzer. On the last segment, we reviewed the Sweet 16. Let's go ahead and review the Elite Eight. We'll start off talking about number one seed UConn defeating number three seed Illinois 77-52. It's going to take an awfully impressive performance for anybody to make UConn sweat. Illinois played as well as they possibly could, put on an amazing defense against UConn, and still lost by 25 points.
Maybe in the first half they did. Not in the second half. When I was doing my research for this game, or I guess my prep for this game, I had put in, I had my stats down, and in parentheses I put laughable game, because that's what it turned out to be. I'm sure you'll elaborate. I won't go on the run, but I'll let you have that. But
No. They lost by 12. I mean, I don't think
They lost by 25.
They lost by 25. Excuse me. I was looking at Gonzaga and Purdue. 25 points. Yeah, it was a 30-0 run.
30-0 run.
Has that ever been done in March Madness before?
I don't think it has, and I think it only happens. You don't see that. You definitely don't see a 30-0 run against a Power Five school, a school like Illinois, who was the top three offense in the nation. I think they said the last time someone had done that, was against like a New Hampshire team. So like you don't see this in the Elite Eight, and it's pretty damn impressive.
Can also add in, I believe my numbers right, 52 minutes of actual time that Illinois did not score a bucket. That's unheard of. I mean, I understand it was throughout the half, and you have your timeouts and stuff, but 52 minutes, and you can't get – you don't – none of your guys see the bucket go through the hoop. That's got to be just the biggest downfall to the rest of your game plan throughout the rest of the night. I mean, you almost know you've lost after that.
The next game here in the West region, number four seed Alabama defeats number six seed Clemson 89-82. Look, I'm going to rave over Nate Oates again. What he has been able to do in Tuscaloosa has been nothing short of amazing. His eighth tournament win in 4 years. It's more wins in the tournament than Alabama has had over the past 26 years. This is the very first Final Four for Alabama as a program. So is Alabama a basketball school now?
I'm not going to say Alabama's a basketball school. Like I said, I see Nate Oates staying for another year or two. Nate Oates is going to get a bigger job if he continues with this.
Oh, yeah.
Alabama's not a basketball school. Everybody knows that, so... good for them. You know, they're taking advantage of it while they have Nate Oates as a coach. And, you know, even recruiting and stuff like that, he's not really doing it. He's putting good shooters on the floor. We talked about this the very first show. Alabama looked like they were just laying there, just waiting to get the season over with at the end of the SEC season. And they found new life yet again in the NCAA tournament, and they're shooting the lights out. What's their star player's name? I can't think of it.
Alabama's
Mark Sears.
Mark Sears. They have Mark Sears, and then they have also their big guy. And they're so between each other, they're so much fun. There's so much energy to watch. And if Mark Sears continues to shoot the way that he's shooting, Alabama, I doubt they're going to be able to get past UConn. I don't think they have it in them, but you never can tell with a team like that. I mean, there's a team, if they're going to shoot 35, 40 threes in a game, if they make them all, you know, Alabama, the sky's the limit.
Obviously, I was being tongue-in-cheek when I called Alabama a basketball school. But isn't it great, though, Chad, when both schools can be good at both sports? Or when a school can be good at both sports, like Florida did for a while, basketball, football. Now Alabama's doing it.
Yeah, you don't see that very often. Like you said, Florida did it a few years ago. I feel like the most recent one is with Alabama. Before then, between Florida and Alabama, I can't think of a school that was really good at both major sports. I could be missing one that is obvious, but you had Florida in the mid-2000s.
I mean, my guess would be probably Texas with Rick Barnes as the coach in the
that's probably true.
In the late 2000s. You know, they were
when they had Durant, so around 2008.
But they were still down football then, too. So
I don't, it might be.
It's rare when both programs are rocking and rolling.
Yeah, it is. And what's crazy about this Alabama team now is they lost 7 of 9 scores from last season, and they started off the season 6-5. And after they started 6-5, you know, I looked at this team and I was like, you know what, man, that is a Final Four team right there. y'all didn't get my joke. No, I had this team losing in the first round to Charleston. I didn't see this coming. And like Jordan said earlier, they rely on two things: layups and threes. And it took 16 threes in this game to beat Clemson. I think if they want to beat UConn, I think they're going to have to beat them by score at least, you know, 23s. I don't think that's really going to happen. But what they've done is crazy. And like he said, they were just dead in the water, you know, coming into the tournament. They lost the last 3 or 4. So yeah, I don't know what Nate Oates said to them or what he did, but whatever happened, it's working.
Next game up, number 11 seed NC State defeats number 4 seed Duke 76-64. That is a in-state rival, NC State versus Duke. Maybe things have started to change in the state of North Carolina. Maybe NC State is going to be the number 2 school in North Carolina since Coach K left. I mean, because it seems like Herbert has it going, Hubert Davis has it going to North Carolina. And, you know, NC State, they've just been on this. It seems like they have magic behind them. They have been on this run. They have not lost a game in like 2 months now. And they won the ACC championship, which is not easy to do. And I actually see, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I see NC State continuing that magic, and I'm getting these Jimmy V vibes all over again. But I'm liking NC State. They did defeat Duke. Was you guys shocked to see that, or did it not come as a surprise?
I'm, you know, honestly, just looking at it, I mean, you know, from the program, what the program is, everybody expected Duke to win, and everybody's over here just like, you know, the NC State magic has to die eventually. But don't forget, they did beat Duke going through that magical run in the ACC tournament. Like you said, they were 1 3-point miracle shot away from losing to Virginia in the opening rounds of the ACC tournament. But, you know, you go back to it, it's a DJ Burns show. And then, honestly, Duke never really even stood a chance throughout the entire game. Duke was down, especially all of the second half. They just never were able to get back within 6. You know, North Carolina State kept the lead anywhere from 6 to 16, and DJ Burns was hitting incredible shots. And I know I keep raving on him, but he's one of the funnest. He's the face of March this year, March and April this year in NCAA basketball, and I love watching him.
Two things, real quick. What's crazy about this game is North Carolina State shot 23% in the first half, which was their lowest the whole season in the first half. And in the second half, they turned it around and had their best performance in the second half the whole season, shooting 73%. Duke shot, I think they were held to under 40%. And going on this hot streak that North Carolina State's on, their last 6 games, they have not allowed their opponent to shoot over 40% from the field. That's pretty impressive. And going on DJ Burns, in the regular season, he only averaged 12 points a game, and he only had 20 points one time, which was against Duke. And then in the tournament so far, he's averaging almost 19 points a game, and he's had a 20-point game performance and a 24-game performance. And I think it's pretty he's becoming a star in the NCAA.
And then finally, the last game of the Elite Eight is number 1 seed Purdue defeats the number 2 seed Tennessee 72-66. There is nothing to be ashamed of with this Tennessee team, because they will continue to mold talent every single year. Under the leadership of Rick Barnes, Tennessee is consistently going to be good. They compete every year. He's winning over 27 games a season, and he is putting them in position to win. He just can't get them to where I know he can get them, and that's in the Final Four. Now, granted, Rick Barnes has only been in the Final Four once, and that was with Kevin Durant back at Texas. However, I do think he has the ability to get Tennessee to a Final Four. It still shocks me that they've never been. When's that time going to come for Tennessee? Because it certainly wasn't this past Sunday.
You know, I don't even want to separate it by saying football school, basketball school, but it's even, you know, it's almost like a curse for Tennessee, and I want to say I feel bad for them, but I really don't. They're another team like Duke. I'm not a Tennessee fan. I can't stand Tennessee. You know, they border us on states, and you have the constant rivalry, but, you know, good for them. Tennessee's good at football, but, you know, I personally like Rick Barnes as a coach. I think Rick Barnes is one heck of a coach. And their players this year, I have nothing against Dalton Connect. Dalton Connect is so much fun to watch, and especially seeing a kid come from a mid-major that was a two-time conference player, and it came to the SEC and just ended up being the star of the SEC. And speaking of Kevin Durant, Dalton Connect plays like Kevin Durant. He's so much fun. He can pull up on anybody from anywhere. He can get to the rim. He's so much fun. But, you know, Tennessee couldn't do it with Bruce Pearl. They can't do it with Rick Barnes. And it doesn't surprise me to see them go down.
Anything you want to say about Tennessee, Chad, before we take our next break and go to and come back and preview in the Final Four? Because we're only down to four teams.
Nothing much, but like going off of what Jordan said about these players, like there was really not a guy on this team that I really disliked, and that's what I said about the last show. I really didn't mind that Tennessee was on this run that they were on. You couldn't really say anything bad about Dalton Connect. I mean, he's a likable guy, along with Ziegler and Joshua. I don't remember how he's got two first names. James. I just really didn't, you know, hate this team as much as I have in the past on Tennessee, but. Yeah, it's a curse or something that they can't make it to the Final Four.
There's one thing I want to say real quick also. Zach Edey was unstoppable. And Zach Edey gets whatever calls he wants whenever he wants them. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Zach Edey's a giant that just Tennessee couldn't compete with it.
And there you go. And Tennessee is out, so that puts a bow on the Tennessee season, which means we're only down to four teams. Alabama, UConn, NC State, and Purdue. And we're going to talk about the Final Four when we get back after these words. Stick with us. Welcome back, everybody, to Off the Cuff. Adam Banks here with you. This is the March Madness series presented by Off the Cuff with Adam Banks. This is the Final Four show where we are talking about the Elite Eight, Sweet 16, and previewing the upcoming Final Four. I have with me my OTC professional sports panel, Chad Rainwater and Jordan Knatzer.
Can we talk about the song? What is this?
Chad? So this is the official song of March Madness this year.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It really? I guess I haven't paid
it really
that.
Is, yeah.
I guess I didn't pay that much attention. This is terrible. I feel like I'm watching The Lion King.
I said last week that I was going to pick it, but didn't think it was that good. It's but not. I struggled with songs this week, so it made the playlist.
Dance with Everybody is what it's called.
It's
a little pun off of Everybody's Dancing in March.
Waiting for Timon and Pumbaa to just like jump out from behind the bushes and start doing a dance.
It does have a Lion King vibe to it.
Hey, though, has there been any dancing in the locker rooms at all this March Madness?
DJ Burns.
You love that guy, don't you?
Man, but he's everything. Like, he's coming down the hallways. Like, you know, you like I said, TikTok's a new thing. You look at him on TikTok, and the kid's just happy, and he's just dancing. And I'm really cheering for him. So
that's always one of my favorite parts, is to watch the locker room celebrations, watch the team dance, and especially the coach dance, because usually the coach is getting out of his comfort zone. I used to love it when people like Roy Williams would get out there and cut a jig. It was good times.
Well, you're not seeing the older coaches. I don't know. Some of the older coaches, it kind of creeps me out now, seeing them out there dancing and stuff. You know, can you imagine Tom Izzo in the locker room?
No.
Or Jim Boeheim last year in the locker room, you know, doing his Eric Musselman. I don't want to see that.
Oh, Jim Boeheim doing an Eric Musselman. That would not be for the faint at heart.
I don't think many people would want to see that one. So
we do have four teams remaining. It's amazing. We start out with so many teams, and there's basketball every single day, and now we're just down to four. They are Alabama, UConn, NC State, and Purdue. Let's talk about the first matchup, Alabama versus UConn. It's going to be likely up to defense in this one. I think that UConn is going to win that game. I think Alabama has nothing to be ashamed of. It's their first Final Four. It's a good win for their program. However, if I was Nate Oates, I wouldn't be satisfied. I have made it this far. Who knows when he'll get back there again? I know he's a great coach. I'm sure he will. But when you go that far, you got to go across the finish line. But I'm taking UConn in that one.
I'm going to take UConn as well. And like you said about Nate Oates, it's one of those things I think that, you know, honestly, it wouldn't surprise me to see Alabama get the upset. Like I said in the last segment, it's somewhere Alabama has literally never been before. They've never been to a Final Four until now. And it's one of those things, I can see him just drawing up plays, get open threes. If Alabama's going to win this game, Alabama needs to make 23s. They need to shoot 40, and they need to make 50% of them. That's the only way, in my opinion, Alabama's going to be able to stop this giant steamroll of an organization that UConn's created.
Yeah, I can get down with that. Defense plus a lot of threes by Bama.
Yeah, I'm going UConn as well. I don't see anybody bringing them down. Like Jordan just said, they're going to have to shoot a ton of threes. Not just shoot a ton of threes, but also going to make a ton of threes. And coming off a 16 threes that they made in the last game, I don't see it happening again. The spread on this game is 11.5. That's the biggest spread, point spread since Gonzaga and UCLA. I'm sorry, this is the largest spread in the Final Four since UCLA and Gonzaga in 22? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't remember what year it was, but it was a 14-point spread at that game. I don't know. I think Bama could definitely cover, depending on how many threes are going in that night. But I don't think that they're going to be able to beat UConn.
So we all have UConn going to the championship game. It's game over for Alabama, right?
I think so.
Next game, NC State versus Purdue. Look, I've already said this. I'll harp on it some more. NC State, they've won 9 straight games, 5 against ranked teams. So NC State can play with heavy competition. Purdue is a lot better than what I thought. If you go back and you listen to the Selection Sunday show, I believe I had Purdue as a Sweet 16. I might have gave them a little love and pushed them to the Elite Eight, but I would have no, in any world would I have put them in the Final Four. So you know what? I'm going NC State in this one to beat Purdue.
I really don't know how I want to pick this game. DJ Burns versus Zach Edey is going to be so much fun to watch. Two big guys. And, I mean, Zach Edey, he's a giant of a man, and he's probably going to be your player of the year in college basketball. DJ Burns, funnest player in the tournament. Both teams have great guard play. Purdue's floated as a top 3-4 team the entire season, and NC State's been a struggling team all season, but they're shining whenever they're, you know, whenever the time's right to do it. This is a hard one to pick because, like we said, Purdue they've not produced in the tournament the past several years. But Zach Edey came back for one more year. He pushed himself from being a second-round draft pick into a first-round, probably possibly lottery pick. I'm going to say you're going to have 2-1 seeds playing. The NC State train has to stop at the station sooner or later. I'm going to be cheering for him, don't get me wrong, but I think ultimately – I think Zach Edey's going to be able to do what he wants with the NC State team on the inside, and he's almost an unstoppable force, and it's going to take the forces of Connecticut to stop him.
Yeah, I really want to pick NC State here just because just to make the joke about Purdue, because the last few seasons that they've lost to a double-digit seed, and they still have a chance to do it here in the Final Four,
mm-hmm.
But I don't think I can pick NC State in this. I think it is going to come down to the big man. You know, we've seen Zach Edey get, you know, you've seen guys get in his head, him get frustrated. And if DJ Burns is able to do that, then I think that they have a decent chance. But at the same time, Edey's going to play physical, and and I don't know how well DJ Burns is going to play well against him. I think this one's a 9.5-point spread. I think Purdue would cover, or I'm sorry, I think that NC State would cover. But I think, just like Jordan said, that Purdue's going to win this and go to the championship, face UConn.
All right. So it seems like that you, Chad, and Jordan are in agreement with your championship game. So what I would like to ask now before we wrap up is, who is your champion? Chad, we'll start with you. You've got Purdue versus UConn in the championship game. Who is going to be the 2024 national champions?
I think UConn's going to run it back and be the second team. Second team to go back to back within the past 20 years. I don't see how anybody's going to stop them. I mean, they're, like you said, they're averaging their points differential is 28 points a game this season. I know they've only played four games, but I don't see anybody taking down UConn. I think that Hurley's just a great coach. I think I've brought back a ton of players from last year. I don't see Purdue beating them in the championship.
Jordan, who do you have between UConn and Purdue?
I think it's going to be the choice around the table, and I think it's going to be a choice around the nation. I think UConn's just that much better than everybody this year. Nothing else to say other than I don't think anybody's going to be able to stop them, so UConn's going to go back-to-back.
I agree. I think that UConn is going to be your national champions this year. My God, they're just so talented. They're so dominant. They're so fast and strong and just better in every category of any other team. And I think that with Dan Hurley's intensity and with the way UConn's been playing, man, I don't think they can be beat. And we're not going to give UConn all of this love yet. That we'll save that for next week's show, which means we will be back next Wednesday to talk about the post-tournament. The Final Four will already be played, so we'll review the games when we come back, and we'll talk about the 2024 champions. And if it is UConn, there's a lot to dissect there, because where do they really fall within the top five? Because we know they're in the top five, but where in the top five do they fall? That will be an interesting question if they win the national title to have next week. But folks, we are going to get out of here. Any final words before we leave the audience? Just wanting more from us.
I want to give my last 10-second little rant real quick, and especially to both of you guys. Caitlin Clark in the women's NCAA tournament right now. Tune in, watch her. Everybody listening, tune in, watch her. She's amazing. She just took down LSU. She's an incredible lifetime talent. Tune in, watch her. She's great.
How many seconds do I have?
You got 60.
All right. I'm really disappointed that John Calipari came. I'm just kidding. No, I'm good.
I said 60 seconds, not 60
no,
minutes.
I'm good, man. Thanks for having us again on the show. It's been really fun, and I enjoy it every single year. It's always a good time, and we'll see you next week.
I appreciate it, man. And just to add to what Jordan said, Caitlin Clark, yeah, she's dominant, and it's great to see her bring awareness to female basketball, but I'm a Kim Mulkey fan, and I was watching the women's tournament just for Kim Mulkey to see what she was going to wear, see what she was going to say. Did you guys read the Washington Post article?
They just said she's mean.
Have you seen her? I would not want to. She should maybe be the first male basketball coach.
Poor Trace Atkins.
Oh, my God. All right, folks, I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode of Off the Cuff with Adam Banks. This has been the March Madness Series, the Final Four show. Again, special thanks to my OTC professional sports panel, Chad Rainwater and Jordan Knatzer. I'm Adam Banks. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Off the Cuff, the March Madness Series. We will see you next Wednesday at 9 o'clock.